just bow our heads. Glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, every opportunity that we receive, we're so appreciative. Lord, you give us health and you give us strength. Lord, an opportunity, a place to gather. Lord, it's just your grace. May we never take it for granted, Father. But Lord, I pray, Lord, as each one is gathered, Lord, pray that you would, Lord, look at our hearts. Father, you know where we need strengthening for this upcoming week, Lord, as the Lord that Satan's going about as a roaring lion, Father, seeking what he may devour. Lord, may we raise a standard against it by thy word. Grant to us revelation, Lord. Oh, it's all your grace. We thank you. Bless us now, Lord. Bless every phase of the service that you get the glory and the honor. We'll truly give you all the praise. In your precious name we ask these things. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our Only Believe books. Page 658. Hallelujah. Had it not been. Hallelujah. Just suppose God serves through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be a supreme sacrifice that was needed. He paid for us. Page 683. Let's sing over there. Without him. Oh.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I would be drowned.
without him, saints.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Back over on 665. Amen. I'm a child of the King, only by what he's done, saints. Once I was clothed in the wraps of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, and then in great love, took me under his wing. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched, oh, blind, now can see. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My Holy Father, He has made me His own. Now I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed, oh glory, hallelujah. And someday I'm going to sing with all the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and blind, now can see. Child of the King. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. By His grace, what He done for me, I'm a child of the King. Praise His name. Brother Hamilton, would you come? Heavenly Father, oh, I appreciate you.
Yes,
sing it with me.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I bow down before you, Heavenly Father.
Anybody else have a song or a special? Or just something burning on your heart. Amen. All right. Well, let's stand then and we'll sing a little chorus. Only Believe. Ask our brother to come. Oh. Precious Lord, we just say thank you for this opportunity, and Lord, we're just so appreciative that you've given us a chance, Lord, once more to come and together around your precious word, and Lord, we just humbly ask that you would take these few words tonight, Lord, though may they be simple and maybe not very many, but Lord, just bless it to our heart, Lord, that we would continue to grow, Lord, and continue to monitor ourselves, and Lord, to be a people that would fan the flames, Lord, and keep ourselves on fire for you in this late hour. And Father, we just humbly ask your blessings upon your word, Lord, and bless my lips to be able to speak, Lord, those things that you would have said, and bless our hearts to receive, we pray. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. So thankful to be here. If you would, while you're still standing, let's just turn our Bibles over to Romans, the 8th chapter, and read a very familiar verse, and then we'll have you be seated. Amen. Just a little exhortation this evening. I just a couple things the Lord laid on my heart and thought we'd just share with you what I have. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's sometimes it's not always a long message or maybe a certain message, but maybe sometimes it's just one word, you know, and, if the Lord speaks that to our hearts, you know, as men, we can only do what the Lord lays on our hearts to do, but if God will just sink that into someone's heart in a special way, it's worth it all,
amen.
But here in Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's just read this 29th verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. May the Lord bless his word, and you may be seated.
Amen.
And as we read that, you know, I still, my heart's on the things our pastor was bringing this morning, and it has been bringing out of Christ as the mystery of God revealed, realizing God's great purpose, and he chose and predestinated a people to see that plan would be fulfilled.
Amen.
And by God's grace, oftentimes we, you know, we read these scriptures many, many times, and we hear them many, many times. And, you know, do we truly, each time we're hearing it, are we allowing it to truly sink into our hearts? Mm-hmm. And kind of, as I was thinking about these things, Brother Branham had shared this little story, and he shared this many, many times throughout his ministry. If you go back and look, you know, he used this so often. But it's very familiar, but I'm going to read it out of the Scriptural Signs of the Time. This was April the 10th, 64, and you're going to remember it, but just think about it for a moment. He says, an old salt one day was coming from the sea, and he found a rider going to the sea. And the old salt said to the rider, said, where goest thou, my good man? And he said, I go down to the sea. And he said, oh, I want to smell the salty brines, and I want to see the blue skies and the white clouds and the seagulls. And he said, I was born on it 30 years ago, and I don't see nothing so attractive about it. That's it. He had seen so much of it till it become common. And that's what's the matter with us people. We've seen so much of God. This church that's been called out of the denominational groups in the last days has seen so much of it until it's become so common you just overlook it. He says, don't never let Christ become common to you. Friend, don't never do that. You just believe with all of your heart and all that's in you. And you know, as you think about that, as we gather into this little building, as here as a group, and we gather many services, and we come underneath the anointing of God's Word. And you know, as our pastor mentioned this morning, you know, the Word is coming forth in a teaching manner, in a renewing, and a ripening stage that we're in. A different time and a different place, and sometimes maybe the excitement of what like a revival would brought on, it doesn't have the appeal sometimes. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we maybe as people and as we do we come in, do we keep ourselves in the spirit renewed to the fact of what God is doing in this present time? Mm-hmm. And looking at what he's doing today, we see what he did yesterday. And we've read what he's going to do in the future. But are we focusing our attention to what God is trying to achieve today in my life and in your life? You know, we've been predestinated to be conformed to his image. And by God's grace, if you see yourself in that number, how blessed we are. But it's also truly realizing that we're not to be conformed, as the prophet said. We're not trying to conform to some church. We're not trying to conform to some man, but we're to be conformed to Jesus Christ, who is the Word. And oftentimes we, you know, as you see, people will very easily conform to a church, to a religion, to a doctrine. But oftentimes they don't like to conform to the Word. It's easier to conform to a doctrine sometimes, or conform to this over here, and to not really put our attention into the focus of what Jesus Christ was. You know, oftentimes, and you see it in this age, many people will try to pattern and be exactly what the prophet was. They want to live, they want to eat, they want to do everything exactly the way he did it. And oftentimes miss the importance of the revelation that was being spoke through his lips by the Holy Ghost to bring a people to the reality of where he was pointing them to. And oh my, I pray that we're a people that truly have our hearts and our minds centered on our purpose for being here. You know, as we see, and in the importance of that Christ as the mystery of God revealed, as our pastor is going back into that, and as you see the enlightenance on being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and seeing that he was going to have that preeminence, that leadership, and that life would be expressed the same life that he lived back through a people. And Paul, you know, knowing that he saw the importance of that, is in Romans the 12th chapter, as he put it, so here in the 12th chapter, and we read it many times, but just to catch that second verse. And he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Yeah. And how often, you know, by the renewing of your mind means you're going to hear something more than once. And it's going to hear it again, and you're going to hear it, and you're going to hear it. Yeah. And by God's grace, what a blessing it is as we think and see where we're at. And we see how many years since God's prophet was here and that voice went forth. And you know, you got to stop to remember Some of us wasn't even born when the prophet's voice was sounding here on earth. And then many of us have grown up, maybe in the message, maybe not in the message. But that voice is still sounding because God is still calling his own, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Mm-hmm. And that sound has got to go out. That same message has got to go out, and it's going to keep going. It's going to keep going. And you know, Peter, he over in the second chapter of Peter, let's just read this because I think it's very, I always just stirs my heart when I think of Peter as he put it here in the second chapter and the first verse. We'll just start there at the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So watch, he's speaking to brethren and people that it, like precious faith here. The righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And after he got done saying all of this, you know, he's really, but then he still goes on to say, but besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, and we realize that all of those things are attributes of the Holy Ghost. And he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And you know, I feel like so many people today have lost that importance of giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. So many people are just leaning upon, I go to church, I attend here, this is my pastor, this is what I believe, I'm following a message. And they're not giving that diligence to themselves to make their calling and election sure. And so we want to make sure that we are a people that is truly giving that diligence. And you know, our pastor, he feels the pressure. He gets up to minister the word and to bring that to the people that he's pastor of. How we as a flock should truly have that same zeal burning in our hearts, that as that word is coming forth, Lord, let this diligence be greater in me. Let it flow through me more, that I would truly be careful and mindful of everything. As you see the importance of God's precious word growing and blossoming out before us. Yes. He says, for if ye should do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. And you know, oftentimes it's got to the point where everybody wants to preach something new. They want to bring something. They don't want to go back. But there's a purpose for God's word to always be there, always being brought back to our remembrance. And all of God's word never loses its importance. Every day for the walk of that believer, whether you're just starting out or whether you've been in church 50 years, it doesn't matter. God's word's important. Every line, every verse, all the time, right down the line. It never grows old and it never grows stale. He says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. But he says, yeah, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Amen. And that's what I feel like God's word is doing, is putting us into remembrance. Don't forget the purpose you're here for. It's, yes, we as we live daily as a human being here on this earth, and we got jobs and we got families and we continue life. But the most important piece that we was put here was for Christ to reproduce himself. That was his purpose. That was his goal. And oh my, he's calling individuals to that place. And you know, it's, you know, my parents brought me up in this message, and I'm thankful for that. and to have been exposed to it. And how many still are, you know? I have children here that have grew up in this. But look at the people that have never had the opportunity to hear the things that we've heard. But how, even no matter what playing field we're in, what stage of life or where how we came to be, it's still got to be real to each one of us as an individual. God doesn't have grandchildren. And each person has to come to that realization that every word and every verse in that Bible is to them personally, and it's real to them, and it's speaking to them directly, every word. The same to things as the word is brought forth, the things that the Lord, Holy Ghost spoke through the prophet of this last day. I don't look at it as for so-and-so, it's for so, but it's me personally that was delivered for my benefit. Yes. God was calling my name, and he was revealing himself to me as a part of that little wife, that I would be conformed to his image, that my life would be molded and put right in tune with what he wanted. And each person, you know, we all come through different stages and different places, and we're different sets of life. But God still works the same in every born-again believer. Everyone he begins to draw, they will get where they want to. But if you would get them all together and put them in a room, and let them begin to talk and to tell about how God has brought them from this, and you'll see the similarities of the drawing and that desire that God placed in a people's hearts and lives, and how God does the work in them.
Yes.
But you know, we live in a time where, as I said, we've been around this message, we've heard this message, it's been being preached, and it's been over here, and Satan has entered in. We've seen him cause deception and cause turmoil and ruckuses and try to tear down what God was doing. And it may look like he's winning, so to speak. It may look like he is getting the opposition and having the upper hand. But one thing, his brother Smith said when he was here, God's timepiece is clicking right on time. And he's not lost control of anything. Everything is moving exactly the way God said it would. But you know, as we see this, this was... it's called, Brother Branham titled this, The Complaint of God in the Church Age Book. And as we read this, I think it's good to think about these things and to think about where we are. As we said, you know, we're not the first generation that heard the prophet's message. Some of us are not the second. Some of us aren't even the third. I think we're probably getting close to sixth generation of setting here as this has come down. But as he put this into words, I think it's good for us to monitor our lives and to keep this in our hearts and to think about it. As he had read Revelations 2:4, the prophet began to speak. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." He says, to understand this, you must realize that the Spirit is not speaking to the original saints of Ephesus alone. This message is to the entire age, which lasted about 120 years. Its message, then, is to all the generations in that span. And history keeps repeating itself. In the generations of Israel, we see revival in one generation, only to see the fires fading in the next. And in the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly, but in the fourth, there may be no vestige whatsoever of that original flame. Then God lights the fire again, and the same process is repeated. It is simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth any more than there is any truth to the apostolic succession. It isn't in the Word. You start out with truly born-again believers, and when the next generation comes along, they are no longer just plain Christians, but they have taken a denominational name and are now Baptist, Methodist, etc. That is exactly what they are, too. They're not Christians. You have to be born by the will of God, not the will of man, to be saved. Amen. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of man. And I don't say that some of them aren't right with God, not for a minute do I say that, but the original fire has died down and they are not the same anymore. And then this is, our pastor has mentioned this many times, but this was what had changed. That fervent desire to please God and the passion to know his word, the cry for reaching out in the Spirit all begins to fade, and instead of that church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become a bit formal. Yes. And that's what was happening back there in the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. And now you might read that and you might think of just a church body, and you might think the church as a whole, it ain't having ramped up music, it's not having all this going on, but it's that individual's desire, that individual feeling that fire, that revival burning in their heart, the push. You are, as the church are called out, one, the making up that church. And to think about it in that sense. But he says that's what was happening. They were getting a bit formal, and the abandonment of God was dying out, and the people weren't too careful about what God thought of them as they began to be more careful about what the world thought of them. And how that's such a careful thing to just stop and ponder on is how much do I let the weight of what somebody else says hinder me from truly giving my all or believing or holding to what God has said in this age. For these hours, they began to be careful about what the world thought of them. The second generation coming on was just like Israel. They demanded a king to be like other nations, and when they did that, they rejected God. But they did it anyway, and that is the history of the church. When it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until you see them stop doing the things they used to do and start doing things they wouldn't do initially. They change their manner of dress, their attitudes, and their behavior, and they get lax. And how is that warning was going out, how that should still be a great warning in our hearts to keep ourselves as an individual. Lord, don't let me fall into this situation. Don't let me fall into this category. But let me keep my eyes focused on the goal and to keep this burning in my heart as an individual. It's so often and so easy. There's just so many voices today. Everyone has an opinion. Everybody's got this. And as I said, there's so many people that they take God's word. They can take the quotes. Brother Branham said this. Brother Branham said that. Brother Branham said this. The Bible says this. And that without understanding or revelation behind it. And it starts to cause confusion. And it starts to break things down. But oh, if we would but take God at his word and just say, amen, so be it. Let it be to me according to the way you've given out, Lord. Watch it bring the increase in our life. You know, there's so many people you start to see that even in the natural as you're trying to explain to someone why you believe this earth God created the heavens and the earth. But you know, without faith, it's impossible to believe. You can't even begin to explain it sometimes. You can't even be in the natural. Science has come along with so many reasons and all of this that you can't even get them to begin to think in the simplicity of God and say, I believe it because he said it. And it's inspired, and I know without a doubt. I've seen everything else in here take place. I know it to be the truth. But you know, if God don't place that in the individual's heart, even that simple truth, you really can't believe. But oh, how thankful we ought to be as we see this word being made manifest and being made real to us to the point that we see it changing our lives, making the reality truly take us over, and we begin to see our lives is the expression of this precious word. We see that life, not just something that's talked about, not just that people should be this way, but then their life is starting to manifest it, and it's broadcast out. And as I said, it's got to be, you know, I think back looking up, you know, my dad come into this message. My parents, you know, they were on fire. This was their zeal. This is what they set their life to follow Jesus Christ and this being the word for the hour. And it's, you know, I was raised up in that. And that was good. But it had to come to me personally that this is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. This is the only route. And so it's got to be for my children, even though they may have been raised up in this. They have to find it. And it's got to be that way for each of us as individual saints. I'm just trying to make sure that we see that we can't look at our brother and go, well, he's not too excited about it. We can't look over our sister, well, they're not too excited. But what about me? What's it doing to my heart? What's it meaning to me? And is this drawing me to that place in Jesus Christ? You know, you see, is the meetings and the things that take place today around the message, and, you know, if the word's getting out there and going, and God help and bless each effort. That's all I can say. But you see it taking place and things going on where the sincerity, they're missing the sincerity of God's word coming to them. And it's become a form and a fashion and a ritual to them. You see it falling into that category. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not a sincere one there or a sincere one polling or happening. But we see the masses going down this passage of just a whooping and a shouting and a confusion, so to degree, coming back. But within that, there's got to be a little people that sees the reality, that sees that this is pulling on them, and it's drawing them to the place to where this word is being reproduced through their life. And how that's, as I said, we don't want to be a people that lets it become common to us. Or we've heard it, we see all this going on, and oh, because this is happening and that's happening. Just let it go. Let that fall where it will. But let us be an individual that's focused on the purpose for which we've been sent.
Yes.
And to keep our eyes trained right on God's precious word, the way he's delivered it to us. Here in Hebrews is Paul. Let's turn over to Hebrews, the second chapter. You see that through Paul's ministry, the whole way through. If you go back and read, there's just so many different areas. But as we, as the word is coming back to us, and we're hearing it, and that's what I say is I think of Naaman as he went down there to Jordan, and he had to go wash 7 times. One wasn't good enough. Second, 2 wasn't good. He had to go 7 times. And sometimes God's word, we might have to hear it more than once before it truly gets sunk into our hearts. We might, it might come and it strikes us, and we're like, amen, see that. But maybe the Lord only revealed just a piece of it to us because he knew it wasn't time for the fullness of it. And all as time goes on, it comes back one more time and the picture gets a little greater. And then it gets a little greater. And then in the fullness unfolds before us. And how grateful we ought to be that, it's just like a calf that's growing. You can't give it everything it needs at one time. It's got to come over stages and times and places. And that's how it is with us. We can't just come through that door one time and think that's all it's going to be good. I've been to church one time. I got it all now. I don't need to go back. No, that's not how it works. But by the renewing of your mind and by hearing the word, you will become the word. And it don't matter if we'll but follow him into all things. He will lead us and to guide us into all truths if we will follow him. But Paul here in Hebrews, the second chapter, in that first and second verse, he said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. It's not by chance that God had Paul pin that onto that page. And how often that is the things that we already have heard, we should give a more earnest heed. And lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense for reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Amen. So maybe may we give a little bit more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I think even as when Brother Smith comes and he's encouraging you to read your Bible, read a church age book, read, study, look back into God's word. How often that's the neglect. Years ago there used to be a song I sing every now and then called Dust on the Bible. And that's truly, it gets pushed off and it gets pushed aside because everything else comes along. And life's happening and we got all this taking place around us and we forget that this is the most important thing in our life. God's word and God's purpose for which we were sent. Whether we live to be 90 or whether we live to only be 15 or 20, it doesn't matter. The days that I have been given on this earth, my life was given for one purpose, to bring glory and honor back to him. That I would be a living sacrifice for him in this age. And may we truly keep that and make sure that there is no dust on our Bible. There is no dust on God's word, but we're reading it and we're partaking of it and earnestly looking back to those things that we have heard, unless we let them slip. May it truly encourage our hearts as we see the time we're in. Let us be an individual. May it burn in our hearts. If no one else wants to be a sister or a lady that dresses and looks right, let it be me, Lord. If nobody else wants to be a true Christian man and uphold their values and to stay with God's word, let it be me, Lord.
Yes.
We've seen it our whole life, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that's seen it. But oftentimes when you have a church, you see one, a big group of people, you'll see one start a little something, and it ain't long till everybody starts the same trend. And we've seen that happen over because people were followers. But let us be followers of Jesus Christ, the Word, and keep our eyes on him and him alone.
Yes.
And make sure that we're looking after him and not the swaying and the moving of different positions and things that are happening all around us. But keep your eyes ever on Jesus. Amen. May we truly let that be our focus. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. And maybe tonight, if nothing else, that's the little exhortation is Don't let the word of God become common to you. Amen. And keep your focus on him alone. Amen. Amen. Many will come and say this and that. And the more you see, as you see time go on, as you see truths that was once held dear, people let up and they've been convinced that that's not the way anymore. But God's word was delivered just precisely the way it is. May we hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Let's sing that little chorus. Won't you hold? I think it's on 160 if you need some words. Hold. Amen. Let me get a drink of water. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Oh, won't you hold
to God's
unchanging hand? Won't you hold to God's unchanging hand?
God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Remember hearing Brother Branham sing that little song. Just the way he sings, it just amazes me sometimes. Just the sweetness and the sincerity of how he sings. It's just lovely to hear him worship God. Amen. Because you could tell it was coming from the very depths of his heart. Amen. Now, I appreciate the word tonight. Do you?
Amen.
Amen. I'm thankful for that exhortation. You know, sometimes people get a little tangled up on that, you know, of hearing maybe the same things, but oftentimes there's different channels taking it, but it goes back to the same thing. But just God further enlightens us to it and gives us revelation of it as we go along. But it shouldn't be nothing new. You take the four Gospels in the New Testament. Look how each one, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, wrote many of the same things. Only just sometimes a little different here and there. They often wrote about the same thing, about what Jesus did. Jesus, our Lord Jesus himself, went back and referred back to the Old Testament and repeated things that was in the Old Testament. What was to happen then? You see? So it's nothing new to repeat and to have to repeat something often many times, you know? Because many times, sometimes it's the fourth or fifth time around when we get the revelation of it. And maybe we came in the right condition to receive from God. Maybe we prayed a little more. Show God was a little more sincere and desired it more than another time. But I just want to read a little scripture here tonight, and I want you to just kind of think about this as you go through the week now. Here we came through a week, and we're going to begin another one. And, you know, I don't know what you'll do this week. I'm not even for sure what I'll end up doing this week. I don't know. And like I said, I'm sure you might have plans and thinking, well, I'm going to do this and I've got to get this done, whatever, you know. But those plans can fall through real easy. I mean, things can change so drastically and so easy. So we don't know, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but we know him that holds the future. And we know that, you know, regardless what we do, it's this scripture right here. Hebrews 12 chapter. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. keep that in mind this week. There's such a greater cloud of witnesses. Just think of that. And everything, whatever we're doing, yes, we're being watched. Think of that. You ever really think about that? If you really dwell on that and think about some of the things the prophet said on it, which you can bring the message on, but I'm not going to right now. But anyhow, if we just really dwell on that and think about, wonder how different we would act, maybe. You know, be more conscious of what we're doing, what we're saying, maybe where we're going. You know, if we knew we had such a greater cloud of witnesses watching. Things are being recorded. Yes. Just think of that. That when you really think deep about it, it's something to think about, you know. It's just like prayer. Another little subject. I'd like to speak on that sometime. I have in the past, but I didn't really go real deep into it. But I'd kind of like to go deeper into it. Lord willing, sometime, whenever he lays it upon my heart. But prayer. You know, Brother George, when he was here, he talked about prayer. Timothy spoke a little bit about prayer tonight. Prayer is, should be, every moment in our life. Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. I want you to think about that. And then what is our prayer? How do we talk to him? You know, I don't know how many times, only probably the Lord would know, how many times I think about what was said about the prophet. Those who would walk in, maybe catching praying, and maybe his wife, or whatever, Billy Paul spoke about it, different ones have spoke about it, different witnesses. And so when you would hear him praying, you would think the Lord Jesus himself was standing right there. There wasn't no repetitious prayer. No. He's really talking to God. I wonder how many of us pray like that. To where we know who we're talking to. And we know he's there. Yeah. You know how we talk to each other. We see each other. We have conversations together, don't we? Is that how we talk to God? We talk to him with some kind of different language, a different form that's not in a real connection with him. Well, he's looking for that real connection where it's a one-on-one talk with him. You know, if you really know him, and to know him, he's life eternal. So if you really know him, and it changes the way, if he's really real to you, it changes the way you talk to him. Yeah. So, just know the thought. Like I say, I may bring something on sometime. But there's a reality to it. Amen. But that's what we come for, to grow, don't we? Yes, to grow. Some people don't like to grow. Some like to stay midgets. But I don't want to be a midget. I want to grow in Christ. Amen. I'm not speaking disrespectful midgets, just a little illustration. Some just don't want to grow up. And you see adult people, sometimes they don't want to grow up. I've seen men 60, 70 years old never did grow up. Just as childish as can be, you know? And it's the same way it is in the spiritual many times. Some people just don't want to grow up. But we're supposed to grow up. Amen. In Christ. Amen. Just thought I'd throw it in there. And keep the things in mind our brother spoke on. Don't mean to distract that. Sorry if I did. I didn't mean to do that part. But we ought to be able to retain all of it, you know. Amen. But it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. So thankful by God's grace that I'm alive and serving him. And the desire's there to keep climbing higher. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Gracious, gracious Heavenly Father, again we are so thankful that you have given us this day. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have grace that's just so abundant. What would we do, Lord? It's like a little song we sing, what would I do without Jesus? What would we do, Father? Sometimes, you know, I just sit around and meditate about those things, and I think about where would I be if it wasn't for you, Lord? And then my mind, I can automatically just go to, I know where I'd be. I'd be lost. I'd be just truly like little song says, I'd be like a ship being tossed and driven through the storms of life without an anchor, without a helm. Oh God, and just being tossed to and fro and driven with the force winds of life. But Lord, you had mercy and grace for us. And all of us as we even stand here, and maybe those listening in, Father, we can see your grace and mercy in our lives. And may we never fail to thank you for it, Lord. May we always have a very appreciative heart. And Father, just such a love for you. We want to thank you again for this day now. Just asking that you'd help it to be something. The things that was spoken today, Lord, and this evening, Lord, everything would become a greater reality. And we know the only way it can be is by your Holy Spirit working it in our hearts. Illuminating it, Lord. Quickening it in our lives. And Father, we just greatly appreciate that with all our heart, because we know we can't do this on our own. So again, we just want to ask you to keep your hand upon us and guide us. And may this week we give our heart and life to you in a greater measure, and keep us safe as we make our travels, Lord, and just give us the desire to come back and to listen and hear the word of God that you lay upon our hearts. And Father, we sit many times, but we truly mean this. We will give you the glory and the honor for it, Father. Every bit of it. Man doesn't deserve it. Lord, man couldn't even live if it wasn't for you. We wouldn't even know what to do in life. We'd be so confused. But by you and through your mercy and grace, we understand and been given much things, Lord, that we're blessed with. So we ask for your mercy and grace as we part from here. Keep the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts in such a union and love for each other and looking out for each other and looking more on the things of others than ourselves. Help us to be like that. We ask now for your lovely name, a precious name, a name like no other, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Oh, you know, a little song we sing, I love that man, Galilee. I love our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you? He is so precious and so sweet. Let him be the King and Lord of your heart. Amen. May God richly bless you. Be careful. Watch for the enemy. For your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So may God bless you.